Creation Ministries presents Letters to Rachel, the story of redemption made simple and designed for your spiritual enlightenment. Let us begin with part one, The Fall of an Archangel. Dear Rachel, I've been contemplating the questions you ask regarding my faith and the best possible way for me to explain to you this most marvelous experience is to start from the very beginning and tell you the entire story. Imagine you were born in such a way that your very first thought was one of happiness. You didn't come into the world cold and wet and covered with blood, crying for the traumatic way in which you were made. At that initial instant of life, you sensed a fulfillment, total harmony, the most blissful utopia you ever imagined. That was what the creation of angels was like. The first one of these intelligences made knew nothing but the joy of self-awareness and gratitude for the one who made him. And this creative force wasn't shy either in the details of this first being. To him, he gave a great amount of beauty, strength, intelligence, and love, which is the force from which the one was made, and which would hold all things together, after they were formed, of course. Afterwards, many others were made. Each had varying strengths and areas of expertise, such as singing, music, wisdom, leadership, all reflections of the character of the one. But even with this great variety, none could compare to this first creature, a bearer of the light of creation, whose name reflected his high station and responsibility. His name, which was once held in such high esteem, is now a lowly title, ground into the earth and often not taken seriously. Such are the denotations now attached to the name Lucifer. Even he, however, is pleased that this situation stands as it is, but more on that later. To this mighty angel was committed the leadership of all the others. To them, he revealed the character and workings of their father, which he was best equipped to understand. He was a covering cherub, the highest order of archangel, and his delight was to perform the tasks to which he was set. Then arose a mystery. Into this perfect, harmonious society, in which sadness, pain, doubt, and worry were unknown, something new was added. Angels were created a little higher than man. These days, they are a lot higher than man's current state, and so it is difficult to try and grasp some of the concepts involved. But as best as it can be understood, Lucifer began to question if this was the only way to exist. There was nothing wrong with this, for angels are brilliant beings, and their thoughts are God's delight. However, and for reasons I don't understand, Lucifer kept these questions to himself, and rather than discussing it with his father, as was his perfect right to do, he began to draw away from the presence he had always known to see if he could figure it out for himself. Rather than going to the source of all knowledge, Lucifer began to convey his questions and doubts to others around him, not so much to find an answer as to get the others to share in the new feelings that he had. In all this, though, his communication with God was not broken. And some deception must have been used to keep the archangel's doubts from coming to light. Gradually, you can see that things were getting worse. From questions, to doubts, to lies. At what point did it become rebellion? It happened so gradually that Lucifer didn't even understand it himself, and just how far from his joy and peace he had descended. With growing apprehension, the other angels watched the changes in their firstborn brother and wondered what would become of it all. There was still hope, for a God who is love never wastes an opportunity to restore happiness. He sent another representative to plead with Lucifer. to try to make him understand what was happening. For a very long time, God tried to make Lucifer see where he was heading. Michael tried to explain the very simple concept that if the universe is created out of love, then any being which is driven by a force other than love is out of harmony with all things. And how can such a being continue to exist? Every mercy, every pitying request for an intelligent discussion was seen by Lucifer as an invitation to return to slavery. His doubt had caused him to forget all the joy and happiness he had felt while doing the very job he was created to do. He began to think himself worthy of deciding for himself what he would do with the rest of his existence, and a sense of pride was added to the growing horrors. With every rejection of his father's love, Lucifer's pride grew. How could Michael's statement be true? He was in opposition to God, yet he lived. Was he then stronger than love? He rejected the very force that God supposedly created him out of, yet here he still stood, stronger than ever, in his own mind. Little did he realize that even then, his father was holding his very essence together against the forces that were able to rip him out of existence. For Yah so loved his firstborn angel that he suffered himself to bear the weight of this new anti-love for just a chance that he could restore the happiness of his most perfect child. It was a mercy that Lucifer was not allowed to feel the pressure exerted on him by his rebellion, yet the explanation of what was truly going on only led him to a deeper and deeper conviction that Michael was lying. Lucifer later echoed this sentiment to man in the words, "Ye shall not surely die," when he was tempting Eve away from her obedience to God and Adam. Now, instead of merely lying to himself, he was in fact accusing the Father of the very crime of which he was guilty, for what indeed was this death? The archangel could not even conceive of such a thing. A fable, perhaps, to scare him into submission? But his pride would not allow him to believe it. How often do we do this even today? If we were to examine ourselves closely, the traits we find so objectionable in those around us may be the very characteristics so firmly cherished within our own hearts. Thus is revealed the folly of the world's many confused and angry spirits. So subtle was the fall, but there came a point when Lucifer knew he was standing against the throne. He had not been silent among the other angels either, and was ever willing to encourage their doubts and fears. More than this, though, he was looking for sympathy from the others. He tried to appear as oppressed by Yah, deceived by Michael, and misunderstood and undervalued by the other still loyal angels. Some of these listeners made the same mistake that Lucifer did. Instead of exercising their freedom of access to the Father, they let themselves be convinced, controlled, and ultimately enslaved by their former leader. The rebel's pride grew ever stronger. Every loving gesture by his father and brothers was seen as an insult. Eventually, Lucifer no longer hid his contempt for his creator and desired to prove to all of heaven that God's was not the only way to be happy. Many who had allowed their minds to be controlled by Lucifer joined him in his disdain for their former ways and united with him under a new banner of transgression, a force we now call sin. Hatred is not the opposite of love. It is only one of the faces of its true opposite, that of sin. Sin's other faces are anger, uncaring, worry, fear, meanness, pride, lying, all things that show rejection of the basic force of creation. All of these were made manifest in Lucifer, and there was war in heaven when it did. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out onto the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Revelation 12, verses 7 through 9. Even his name was changed on that day. No more was Lucifer a fitting title for this one, for God created the angels with names that meant something. Nothing is an accident in heaven, nor is it on earth, if God's will is followed. Even the prophets had names which were significant, such as Elijah, which means Yah is God. His successor, Elisha, which means Yah is salvation. Daniel, which means Yah has judged. Even Jesus' name was significant. The archangel Gabriel, who took Lucifer's place as covering cherub, told his mother to name him Yahshua, which means Yah saves, for he shall save his people from their sins. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. This is the true translation of his name. Lucifer became Satan, a name which means adversary, and it was rightly so. One who had once sealed up the sum of wisdom and beauty would now be brought down to the pit for his pride, so spoke the prophet Ezekiel. The story can be read in the 28th chapter of his book. Yet, perhaps, Lucifer as a name should not be completely cast off either, for even in his rebellion, even in his fall and continued battle against Yah, he cannot help but reveal the character of the one who first created him. In that sense, he is still a bearer of light. All of heaven was brought into a clearer understanding of love and sin to be illuminated even on the earth in the light of his great fall. Letters to Rachel is produced and distributed by Creation Ministries, P.O. Box 424, Idlewild, California, 92549. For more information, you may call the toll-free number 1-888-284-2487. May Yah's inspiration be eternally yours as you seek His wisdom, grace, and understanding. No copyrights exist on Letters to Rachel. Copy freely and distribute to your friends and family.